let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let your will be done.
Welcome to the podcast. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson, and I want to thank you for listening and remind you to subscribe, and please tell a friend, have them subscribe as well. So I'm in the studio right now with C.K. Thompson and Mike Thompson both. It's going to be a good podcast, and we're here in sunny, beautiful Las Vegas recording for you today. So I'm going to throw it over to C.K. How are you doing, C.K.?
Hey, great, Brian. And today we are going to let her rip. That's what the Lord told me to do. If in doubt, let her rip. So that's what I do all the time.
Indeed.
We're coming to you on the Streams of Many Waters podcast network, and they're awesome people there. We love you guys. Thank you for listening today. And we've got some special things that we want to talk about. Actually, there's a whole lot of shaking going on right now. Yesterday, the... Oh, hi, Mike. First of all, I said, hello.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Oh, I am very, very good.
Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thanks. Good to be here.
We've been watching history unfolding before our eyes, and with the...
Yeah, so this morning, the UK, they voted to leave the EU, so that was a really big deal, and so I think you had some thoughts about that.
Yes, that is historic, and I have a scripture here to read about that real quickly. This is actually from my prosperity packet. The Lord just took me right to it, and it says, this is from Haggai 2, chapter 2. It says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake the nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts." He's talking about shaking the nations. He's talking about the last day harvest, last day's harvest of souls, the mighty revival that's coming, that's here. And then he goes on to say, interesting, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts." He always seems to connect silver and gold with glory, with revival, and that also has to do with the end time transfer of wealth. And I thought that was interesting, because as he shakes the nations right now, as soon as the EU vote came out, the Dow and the stock market just plummeted. And so I'm not sure where it's going to be by the time people hear this podcast, but I wanted to talk to you, Mike. I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and Brian, feel free to jump in if you got some, with your wisdom about these things. In light of the things the Lord has showed you recently, and actually over the last couple decades, about, for instance, you had the angelic visitation about Donald Trump. The Lord has talked to you about some of these things. Tell me what you have to, what is your take on the shaking that's going on right now?
Well, first of all, I would like to let everybody know that shaking does not always mean something bad.
Yeah.
It actually can be something that is very good. And I think that that's what's going to happen through all of this, is that eventually there will be a settling and there will be spiritual revival. There'll be spiritual awakening. There will be prosperity.
Do you believe that the shaking is actually God setting things in order?
I would say yes, and if it's not specifically God setting things in order, it is at least everything falling in line with what he has declared from heaven.
Yes, because he's the one that raises up kings, brings down kings. There's a lot of spiritual warfare going on. There's a lot of activity in the heavenlies right now, big time.
Yes.
And
we've been doing definitely
a lot of intercession here.
Right. And a lot of times people don't understand that, and that's why there's so much fear. I mean, people just look at what's going on in the world today with global terrorism, and then with the shaking that's happening there, the presidential elections this year, 2016, in America, and the popularist movements that are beginning to arise, because people around the world in these different nations, quite frankly, are not happy with status quo and with whatever it is that the elitists have set up for them to operate in.
That's true.
And they just don't feel protected, taken care of, listened to. So there's a lot of uprising. And, you know, the scripture even declares there in Luke 21 that people's hearts will fail them for fear, talking about the end time.
Mm-hmm.
And as believers, that's one of the things that always pops into people's minds anytime there's any kind of upheaval in the world. It's like, ooh, you know, is this a signal getting ready for Jesus coming back or anything like that?
It's the end of the world. It's the end of the world as we know it.
And, you know, and also in Luke and then also in Matthew 24, but Luke 21, Jesus talking about those things, he said that, he said, when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. Don't let your hearts fail you. Don't be terrified.
Yes.
For these things must come to pass, but the end will not come immediately. It's not the end yet.
That's right.
That's just the state of the world, the stuff that happens. He said, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes in various places, famines, pestilences. There will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So things are happening. It doesn't signal necessarily the end of all things or the world going to blow up or, you know.
Yeah.
God's still in control.
Praise God. Boy, that goes right along with the thing I was reading earlier. I didn't know there was an actual scripture. Well, I didn't realize how much it went right along with that scripture. Mm-hmm. Would this be a good time to read it?
I would love it. Yes, that.
Are you still in the middle of a thought, though? Because I don't want to cut you
off. Oh, no. I'll get anything I want in as we go along.
Okay.
But I loved that word from the Lord from 2007 you have. Read
okay.
it.
Okay. This was in 2007. I wrote down a word that I have dream vision, et cetera. Things were visions in the night, and the Lord speaks to me. And then as I'm waking up, sometimes it keeps going, and I just write as fast as I can. This one was dated July 18, 2007. Wow, how many years ago was that? Like 9.
Uh-huh.
9 years ago. Isn't that amazing? It's like almost exactly. It's July.
Yeah, it's coming up. It's close.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm preparing to shake the nations. At the same time, I'm sending a wave of glory, a powerful move of my presence, an invitation into the final harvest. No more waiting. Be doers, be goers. Be quick to follow my leading. I will lead you away from and lead you around the trouble that is coming. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be as you hide in the secret place of the Most High, in the spiritual realm, in the higher realms I have called you into. This is 2007.
Wow.
You shall establish places of refuge for people, spiritual refuge and physical refuge as well. It says, more perilous times, but don't be afraid. These things must take place as part of the fulfillment of all things. These are covenant battles. It's like, I kept hearing the Lord saying, this means war. This means war, like the old Petra song.
Yeah, right.
This means war. But these things are covenant battles, he called them. It has to do with him fulfilling covenant promises to his people and fulfilling his word. He said, these things must come to pass. Ishmael and Isaac, the conflict continues in the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. There's even a type and shadow of Ishmael and Isaac in the body of Christ. Then he goes on and says, stunning sights you will see with your eyes. Well, how else?
Right. That's the best way to see them.
See, stunning sights you will see with your eyes. But so overwhelming, your heart will have trouble grasping it. That's why I'm doing a quick work regarding buildings and properties, these necessary things so that you will be prepared to handle and minister to many dazed and hurting people. A lot of people are going to be really dazed and confused. In the natural, prepare yourselves for the day of trouble. But in the spirit, prepare yourself for the most powerful wave of my glory ever seen on this planet since creation. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. There will be terrorist attacks. At that time, I wrote down one or two minor ones, and because I was like at a loss of how to put it. You know how the Lord downloads something to you, and it's like, I knew he meant a few. Mm-hmm. Like minor ones with got air quotes going on here.
Sure.
As if any terrorist attack is minor. And then a major one will occur. This is Ishmael's big one. He thinks it's his finest hour, but I will shut him down shortly. That's what the Lord said, which is cool. And Ishmael and Isaac, Ishmael, the two sons of Abraham. Isaac was the son of promise. Ishmael was the son of
bondage.
Yeah, that's it. So they've been duking it out ever since. Thanks a lot, Abraham. Okay. Okay. He said these events will be mirrored in the church realm. People will have to choose between the spirit of Ishmael or the spirit of Isaac. They will need to great discerning of spirits because Ishmael looks good. He looks right. But Ishmael's mother is bondage and legalism, control and manipulation. Ishmael mocks Isaac. That's pretty major, too.
Yes,
people need to
definitely realize.
He despises the grace in which Isaac walks. Ishmael is critical of that grace. Ishmael is a fault finder. He is proud of his accomplishments. He looks down on the poor and on those who aren't cool or important. Ishmael is proud. He's proud. This shall be played out in the body of Christ. The humble shall walk in Isaac's blessing, but the proud shall be sent off into the wilderness. And I want to mention here real quickly that we know that just because you're I've seen so many churches, like spirit-filled churches, charismatic churches, prophetic apostolic, whatever, churches that don't like to be called churches because they're trying to be cutting edge and different and cool mm-hmm. and all that. Just because they're one of those kind of churches does not mean they're exempt from this. Mm-mm. There's Ishmael and Isaac going on.
Oh, that's for sure.
Boy,
definitely.
Some of them are really, it's bad. And if people are not aware, they need to be able to trust their heart. Trust your heart. If you feel like something's not right, because it's Ishmael does a lot of religious control. And I've seen a lot of it, a lot of Ishmael and legalism under the name of grace. They call it grace. And they use grace as like a hammer. To and to fault find with everyone else as an excuse to become elitist and find what's wrong with everyone else and why no one else qualifies, and that's not grace.
No, it's not. Big irony too,
isn't it?
Using grace for that as well.
Exactly, and they come. We've had people come after us and saying that we don't believe in grace. I'm like, are you kidding? We were preaching grace back when we were getting hammered for preaching grace because. 40 years ago, we were preaching grace.
40 years?
Yes.
Wow.
Which is pretty good, because we're not even that old.
That's right. We're 39. Well, and they think that grace is about the packaging, and it's not. It's the content.
Right.
Yeah, you can wear blue jeans and still be a legalist.
Oh, yeah.
You can change the structure and the packaging and the order of the way you do a service or the building you meet in or a certain approach to ministry without changing the content.
Right.
And I've seen that so much. So that's not what grace is about. Grace is about the content. And I know from wonderful, wonderful churches that very much operate in grace, but mm-hmm. yet they have stained glass windows and wear suits, et cetera. And yeah. so... there's a whole shifting going on, but I don't want to get you off track.
But you can't, no one can really actually judge by the outward appearance because you got to go by your heart.
Yes.
Because you get into those situations and you can tell, you can feel that control and manipulation, a lot of religious control and manipulation in the name of grace. I've had them get angry with me. I've been shunned, even recently, by mm-hmm. people, mostly, to be honest, women. Because I didn't dance when they piped. When Jesus said you piped and I didn't dance and you
yes.
played dirges and I didn't mourn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to do the will of my Father, not to be manipulated by the people. My first responsibility is to the Lord and the assignment on our lives. And so therefore, just because they come in and think they're going to fix us and change us and, oh, you need to do this and you shouldn't do that and we don't believe in the fivefold ministry anymore. And I'm like, well, then you shouldn't be here if you don't believe in the fivefold ministry, because we are part of the fivefold ministry. And I'm not ashamed to say that.
Mm-mm.
I know what I know.
And ironically, they usually break off, start their own groups, and they become what it is that they said that they didn't want to be a part of.
Right.
They become the leaders and the fivefold
of their little group.
Right.
Yeah. And just because we're a brand new work in Las Vegas doesn't mean that we don't have not only years of experience, but we have a following. How do you say? We have
partners,
ministry partners, like all over the country.
Right.
But the Lord is growing things. It's really surprising me. But at the same time, you know, I've had so many ladies, for instance, when I'm open about having a curse, I have post-traumatic stress disorder. Now, some people would say that that's a bad confession, but I'm telling you, just being honest, I have what the Lord said. He told me to be authentic because people need to hear it. And so when I tell them that, and that there's certain things I simply don't do, can't do, partly because I'm a prophet, I won't go into certain places, or because I can feel that spirit of religion so intensely that it can make me ill, I can't go there. And the PTSD acts up, because for me that's like returning to the scene of the rape.
Right.
And sorry if that makes you uncomfortable, folks, but...
It's the truth. That's a thing.
Yeah. And people need to know that. Trust your heart. If you feel pressured, if you feel like someone is watching to make sure you measure up, if you feel like there's like some kind of rules you're supposed to be living up to and you don't even know what they are, good chance you're in a situation where there's an Ishmael spirit, because it tries to shut down the grace that God has given you. I know there's better ways of saying it. We've written some articles that are going to be books soon about grace, God's family system. It's a whole system. The Lord told us to leave the religious system because it's a system that does not represent Him. Mm-hmm. It's Ishmael.
Yeah, the Apostle Paul talked about that in his letter to the Galatians. And he used that analogy. And
Yes. Basically
it's like this, is that... there was one father and two mothers when you were talking about Ishmael and Isaac.
Uh-huh.
And that Abraham was the father of both. And but through Sarah, Isaac was born of promise.
Yes.
And through Hagar, Ishmael was born. And she was the handmaiden, the servant. But it was them trying to force God's hand. It was them trying to help God out. It was them taking things into their own control
yes.
to try to make what God had already promised come to pass.
They're trying that to make it happen sooner.
Yeah, and to happen their way.
Mm-hmm. Because they couldn't see how God could do it.
Right. So it wasn't by faith. It was by works. They
right.
took it in their own hands.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And so that analogy
that produced Ishmael.
Yeah, it produced Ishmael. And so Ishmael, the analogy in the church today, is legalism, religiosity, serving God by works. And anytime you do that, it automatically turns to manipulation of the people.
Exactly. And you can't... I know that people get super frustrated when they try to manipulate you because... And you won't be manipulated? Because that's a biggie to us. We refuse to be manipulated by the people. I mean, mm-hmm. we love the people, but our job is to do what God told us to do, say what He's called us to say, see what He's called us to see, and bring deliverance, take the word of life to the nations. And we stand accountable to God for that. And so if people come in and try to manipulate us to do something different than that, and we just say no, we're just minding our own business, obeying God. The thing yeah. about it, you cannot manipulate people with grace. We're not trying to manipulate people. We're simply obeying the Lord and giving people an invitation to join us. That's what we're doing.
Well said. Yeah.
Did you have a point you wanted to make there?
Because you're doing good.
I saw a look in your eyes like you wanted to
no.
say something.
No, go ahead.
So, actually, I didn't even finish reading this. Shall I...
Go ahead and finish it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. In this hour, the Lord said, remember that perfect love casts out fear. Walk in love, sometimes tough love, but learn to see and love people the way I see them and love them. There is an urgency to reach as many souls as possible. He keeps saying that to me. I mean, that's just a theme of my life, is souls are in the balance. Everything we do is because souls are in the balance. That's God's heart. That's why Jesus came. So he said, love them into the kingdom of God. Prophetic evangelism, this is in 2007. Prophetic evangelism brings people into encounters with my heart, is what the Lord said. It bypasses intellectual arguments and reasonings. Prophetic evangelism, let people experience my presence. One encounter with my love will change their life forever. One encounter with powerful prophetic anointing changes their eternal destiny. But I will send the humble many more than just one encounter. The heavens are open. This is the season of encounters. Encounters with angels, with other creatures in the spiritual realm. In fact, like I saw the living creature who introduced himself to me that time. That was weird. He was sent to watch over our ministry to protect us. Like, wow.
Nice.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was looked like a humongous, like, female lion or something. I'm not even sure how to describe. But it told me it was a living creature. Mm. Encounters with angels, other creatures in the spiritual realm. And for some, the line between the spiritual realm and the physical realm shall be blurred. You'll see into both at the same time. You'll encounter creatures from both kingdoms. Walk and speak in prophetic authority. Your dominion has been increased. Demons are more afraid of you now. Angels are more excited and active now. Some of them will talk to you about your heavenly instructions in the days ahead. And that was before these angels started showing up and telling us the things that were coming.
Wow.
Like Las Vegas and...
Yeah, very accurate word.
Yeah.
Did you finish it?
Yeah, that's the end of it.
You know, when you were reading that, CK, there's a couple of things that really occurred to me. First of all, it was 2007. That mm-hmm. was right before 2008 when everything started shifting.
Yes.
That was the beginning of all of this. We're still just now, you know, the shaking of the nations and the things that are happening with the complete reformation and restructuring of the political systems.
Yes.
You know, in the United States, around the world, so forth. All of that is just still the finishing of what started. It started in the spiritual realm.
Yes, it did.
And even when you mentioned there, as the Lord said, that we'll be seeing into both realms, that's important for believers to understand. They're spiritual beings.
Yes.
And the Holy Spirit is on the inside of them and can show them things to come, can show them the spiritual realm and what's happening there. Because God's shaking and changing it all. And the Holy Spirit is hovering and brooding over the chaos.
Yes.
To create order.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that order that will eventually play out in the days ahead is revival.
Yes.
God is a revivalist. Mm-hmm. We are a revivalist.
Yes. We are all about, I mean, that's the point of this ministry. We are a revival culture ministry. Everything we do is to bring people into the kingdom, bring them into relationship and connection with God, heart to heart, absolutely,
yeah,
constantly.
So when we look at the chaos that's going on, one of the things that we see is salvation, mass evangelism,
yes,
spiritual awakening.
Mm-hmm. See, and it's not time for judgment, it's time for revival.
Right.
I see so many people with, you know, their hearts failing them for fear, and they're listening to these ridiculous, you know, down the rabbit hole stuff on YouTube or wherever, and the...
Oh, nice reference. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Crazy stuff going on out there.
Yep.
That it all is... It just stirs up fear in people's hearts, and they hold on to that instead of, you know, as if God is going to just let everything go to hell in a handbasket, and that he's no longer God and no longer going to keep his word. When he spoke to me during many of these dreams and visions, he always says things like, souls are in the balance, and these things must come to pass. But he also says things like, for instance, he showed you the revival more than once.
Yes.
And so in line with that, talk to me about the Donald Trump thing and what's going on in the shaking in the atmosphere, the shaking of all nations.
Well, I see. Again, I'm going to say revival, but in this form. I personally like Donald Trump and would vote for him, but I wouldn't tell anybody that. Anybody who would come up to me and ask me who I'm going to vote for, I'd say, well, I'm not going to tell you. You know, my position as a pastor and spiritually and so forth, I don't want to manipulate and control, and I don't want to bring politics into the church, etc. But then, you know, the encounter that we had, I think it was on April 7th,
yes,
where in a prayer meeting, as we were praying for the nation, we were praying for Israel, we were praying for the presidential election, and I had a vision, and an angel appeared beside me on my right hand, and he said that the dogs of hell have been released against the one who the Lord's hand is upon. Pray against the spirits of false witness, hatred, and murder.
Wow.
And speak truth and justice into the atmosphere, and we, the angels, will break the teeth of the enemy.
Wow.
And so the whole time he was saying that, he showed me Donald Trump's face. And I want to make it very clear to everybody that the angel did not say Donald Trump would, beyond a shadow of a doubt, become the next president. That wasn't it. It was that the hand of the Lord was upon him, just like in Isaiah 45, where the hand of the Lord came upon King Cyrus, who was not a believer, who was not a Jew. He was a pagan, in order to bring about God's will for a specific purpose. Now, I'm not saying that Donald Trump's a pagan. There are many that believe that he's a believer, etc. Those things are not the point. The point is simply this. He's a tool,
yes,
that God is using during the time of shaking.
Yes.
He's a bulldozer. He is being used by the Lord to change the status quo,
yes,
so that the Holy Spirit can release upon our nation and also in Israel and around the world even, revival. Revival,
yes,
is the point. And out of the revival comes God's structure as things begin to come into place. Then you find, you know, the end time transfer of wealth.
Yes.
And all of these other things that God has promised, you know, in his word for us. Those things that we're looking for.
Yes, including all of the covenant promises that God has given to his people. All the dreams, visions, everything he has told us and that people are still waiting for. It is the season of fulfillment of promise right now.
Right.
And that this, I believe, personally, I believe that what happened in Great Britain is just a foreshadow of what's going to happen in November. Personally.
Oh, I believe that, too.
We've always kept politics out of the church or out of the ministry, but there does come a time when, especially as apostles and prophets, that we have to say, when we say, you know, we'll see what we're called to see and say what we're called to say, people are looking for answers. And there comes a time when we have to speak out and say, this is what the Lord, this is what I saw.
Mm-hmm. And it comes in line with everything we've been seeing for,
yes,
the last 10 years.
Exactly.
And that's the reason to speak up. Plus, the Lord told me to.
Right.
He said, you tell.
Right. He really got on your case. I watched you squirming about that.
It was difficult, very difficult for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, once the cat was out of the bag, so to speak, and I did, you know, make it public what the Lord said. And I also, let me clarify, he didn't say that the Lord's hand was not upon Hillary or upon, at that particular point, I was still in the Republican primaries. There were several other who were running against Trump, that, you know, like Ted Cruz, etc. The hands of the Lord was on them for salvation, for blessing, but the angel said the hand of the Lord was on Donald Trump, and I knew it was for shaking.
Yes.
For shaking.
For shaking the nations. It's global. It's bigger than the United States. What's happening is a global thing.
Yes.
Because the end time harvest is a global harvest.
Yes, it is.
He told us to take the word of life to the nations. It's about the nations. Now, I just happened to be looking at Donald Trump's page. Actually, I was looking through some of his videos on YouTube just for fun one night. And I think they're just older ones he's had on there for, I don't know how long. Actually, I don't know how long they've been there. Or you could, like, they took you on a tour of his private jet or things like that, or showed you like the different properties that he owns in which countries around the world.
I've seen some of those. Yeah, they're pre-election videos.
Right.
Just to make that clear.
Exactly. Yeah. It was just showing about his business and all of that. That man has more experience in dealing with those governments and negotiating and working with and building something, housing, etc., all over the world. He knows how to deal. He knows how to he's a negotiator. He has an anointing on his life to build and to be successful in business. He knows the art of the deal, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
America needs that. And I know you've heard me say it before. The Lord told me this: our sitting president he's actually brought reproach upon our country. It's not a racial thing either.
No.
It's about the spirit of poverty that he brought into our country, that elitist thing that thinks that it knows better than we do. You know that thing when someone acts like people are too stupid to think for themselves, so we have to do the thinking for them, and then we'll tell them how it is. And this cram executive orders down our throat over and over and over. And I think for the first time I got a bit of a taste of what some people have been through in dictatorships, you know.
Yeah, bypass the will of the people.
Absolutely.
And, you know, one of the things, CK, that maybe some people out there don't have the advantage of is that we do have some friends from some of those other nations,
yes,
like in England and Australia, and, you know, et cetera. And in those nations, what they tell us is that, generally speaking, the people are very offended.
Yes.
By this sitting president, because he comes and tells them what to do.
Yes.
He comes over and, you know, just like Obama telling, you know, the England to stay in the European Union.
Yes, like he thinks he has the right to do that,
right,
to go speak into someone else's.
Yeah, and so these people would write us, send us emails and say, pray for us, you know, and we even saw pictures of their newspapers.
Yes.
You know, the next day when...
offended.
Yeah, when the front page...
Oh, the headlines.
I don't even remember the headlines, but it would be something to the effect of, Obama tries to tell us what to do.
Yeah, it's like, who does he think he is, kind of a thing. Like, how else can he offend us? I remember, it's amazing that he thinks he has the right to go around and just cram his own will... And I know it's not just his. It's that Jezebel spirit agenda from the far left. And, I hate to be into politics about this, but on the other hand, people need to know the truth.
They do. And they also need to know that we are just as opposed to the far right.
Yes.
The Pharisee, the political Pharisee spirit.
Yep, absolutely.
Of manipulation and control and backroom deals.
Absolutely. In the name of the Lord.
In the name of the Lord.
Or in the name of... the Constitution, or whatever it is, they look pious, but they're just as wrong. They're just as wrong.
Yes, and one of the things is because both of them try to prevent revival.
Exactly.
They try to stop revival.
They want to control everything, and it's a shutdown of revival. They don't even believe in it. Even if they say they're Christians, most of them do not believe there's a revival coming.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea what God's getting ready to do.
Oh, it's here.
It is.
It is here. The shaking is happening. It's happening in the spirit, and things are crumbling in the natural realm, so to speak. I'm talking about the systems, not the earth.
Right. Everything that people have trusted in,
they're
going to have to start trusting God.
Time to trust God.
Isn't that a novel thought? Let's trust God for a change. Could you tell us, I want to hear, just tell us about what the angel showed you on June 13, 2013 about revival.
Revival.
Yeah.
Yes. You and I were on a prayer retreat sabbatical.
Yeah.
And... we were in a timeshare right here in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was before we moved here.
Yeah.
And we had been praying day in and day out in the Spirit. And on that specific date you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I had a vision. And in the vision, the Lord took me away. And the angel took me up in the second heaven and showed me the United States below, and this great swirling mass of rainbow colors, just like a big, huge blanket, just lowering down to America. And he referred to it as revival, the glory of God, you know?
Wow.
And that rainbow is connected with the throne of God, with covenant, with Jesus' relationship with redeemed man, all those things, you know, biblically.
Yes.
But lowering down. And as it was lowering, there were opposing forces, there were strongholds that were built to try to keep it from lowering and actually coming to America, opposing God's will. Demonic forces.
Mm-hmm.
And angels, like big fireballs, were just coming from heaven against them and beginning to destroy them. But then the demonic forces would come and build up other ones. And even though they couldn't stop it, because, you know, you don't stop God, but
right.
they were slowing it down and trying to prevent God's will. And I asked the angel that why, and by the way, that angel was Michael, the yeah. archangel, because the Lord had introduced him to me once before. And I asked him why, when they removed those strongholds, didn't they just stay removed? Because God's bigger than the devil. And he said, because of the hearts of men, because of their mouths, because of what they say.
Wow.
And he said that it was the wickedness. It was the hearts of both unbelievers and believers who were opposed to God's will, who were speaking rumors and falsehoods and strife and anger and judgment, and
yes.
the list goes on about all the stuff in America.
The whole spirit of murmuring that,
yes.
that hit our country.
And he said that's what empowered the demonic spirits to build the strongholds. And then he
wow.
told me that he and the warrior angels needed spirit-filled, faith-filled, believing Christians
mm-hmm.
to speak truth, to speak the word of God, to pray, to intercede, and empower the angels to bring that revival.
Yes.
And revival definitely is here.
It's here. Mm-hmm. It's here.
It's here.
And believers need to set themselves, set your heart to receive that revival, to participate. Not only that, set yourself to, the Lord told me that the kingdom of heaven is invading earth, and he is intending to do it through his children, through his sons and daughters, but I say sons, no matter what your gender is. so set yourself to be not only, it's not a spectator thing. It's a participator thing.
Oh, you got to be a participant. Yes.
Absolutely. So, you know, I've heard people say, and it really broke my heart to hear, it surprised me a lot to hear people say, well, we can't make revival happen. God just has to make it happen, or else I'm not doing anything unless he makes it happen. And I'm like, no, wait, that's not how you do anything with God. Everything
right.
by God, we receive by faith. Everything. If you had that attitude about salvation, you wouldn't be saved right now. You would not have accepted Jesus as your Savior. You had to make the decision to say yes
mm-hmm.
and open up your heart and do something.
Receive.
Receive. It's called receiving, yielding.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want to participate in revival or in anything, you have to be willing to make yourself a vessel of it. So you don't just plop yourself there and say, I'm not doing anything unless God does it. Well, you wouldn't be speaking in tongues right now either if that was your approach.
Right.
I mean, I've heard people say that. If he wants me to speak in tongues, he'll make me do it. Mm-hmm. No, he won't. you got to receive it. You have to believe it and receive it. And the same goes for revival and a spiritual awakening and being in the river. The river. That
Ooh, the
thick
river.
Glory of God. It's becoming more and more thick. And this is no time for people to like decide to shut down the move of the Spirit. And that's what that is. When they say, well, I'm not going to do anything unless God tells me, or unless God does it. No, that's not how it works. You just became a brick wall for us. Thanks a lot. Don't bring your brick wall to church. You know, it's like trying to minister to a brick wall. There are souls in the balance. Love them enough to allow yourself to be a vessel of revival.
That's it.
And to demonstrate revival through yourself. We need to humble ourselves and allow God to do what he wants to do through us for the sake of souls and for the sake of bringing the kingdom.
Very good.
I'm going to read you something real quick.
Okay. Go ahead.
Actually, just talking about that it is time for the supernatural manifestation of walking in the weighty anointing, the thick things of God. That's in the book of Job, by the way. And pressing into a realm where the kingdom of heaven invades earth in astounding ways. Mike and I bless you, and I'm talking now to my listeners. Mm-hmm. I want to thank you, and we bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And we pray that your hearts will be lifted up and encouraged. Don't let anything scare you right now, what you see in the natural, because things are shaking, but God has an expected end. He has a good outcome. His purposes, everything has to be shaken in order for God's purposes to come to pass. So walk by what you see in your heart, not by what you see with your eyes. Walk and live out of the treasure in your spirit. Live out of the treasure that is in your spirit.
That's good.
God has deposited it in your spirit. Precious treasures, every single one of you. And he's put his treasures in earthen vessels. That's us. And remember, love is the key to walking in all these things. And that's why many people stumble and or postpone their destiny. But the time is here to actually walk in love. Not fake, phony, manipulative, sappy, fake, religious love. Oh, man. If you want to know how I feel about that, you can go back and listen to some of the other podcasts.
Oh, yeah, you'll hear it.
Do not like phony, manipulative love. That's not love, it's fear. Religious love is fear-based, fear-driven. But God's love is the key ingredient, and without it, we are out of sync with his purposes. But it is the price we must be willing to pay to see the glory of God with our own eyes. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. And the love of God has been spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. It's already there. All we have to do is yield to it. Meditate on 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Just cogitate and meditate. Put your name in there and read it out loud. It helps. Mm-hmm. There's actually the power in it to bring itself to pass.
Absolutely.
The Lord's yoke is easy, his burden is light, and there are stunning days ahead of us. Those who will humble themselves to the simplicity of what God is doing. It's a total new day. Days of destiny. He has placed it in your heart. It's in your DNA. It is timeless and eternal. From the foundations of the world, God was thinking of you, even then. And he is always mindful of you. Yes, you. He's mindful of you and all the hopes, desires, dreams, and visions that he has placed in your heart. And at this time, the Lord says, say goodbye to yesterday and say hello to your destiny. Say hello to the future. The future's here. Embrace the new day. You haven't passed this way before, just like the Hebrew children going into the promised land. But don't be afraid and don't murmur. Say, hello, new day.
Hello, new day.
Hello.
Hello, new day.
We should say that.
Yes. Yeah, we should say that.
Hello, new day. We embrace you. We walk it out in the love of God. And he also said, there's one more P.S., don't participate in the recession. You have a covenant God, and he has not, you know, he hasn't lost a dime in the market.
Heaven's economy can't be shaken.
That's right.
Only man's.
That's exactly. So choose to walk in your covenant blessings no matter what it looks like. There is no recession in heaven. So keep on praying, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life and in my finances as it is in heaven. And I bless you all. Thank you, Mike, for being here today. Thank you, Brian. And
thank you.
God bless every one of you. We'll see you next time.
That's right. Yeah, it's an excellent wrap-up. I'm just going to leave it there. We're out of time. Thank you guys for listening. We'll definitely catch you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.